Good evening, Steve. Welcome to the space show.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here.
The Magellan spacecraft has done an excellent job of exploring Venus. How did the Magellan Project get underway?
It's been a long, arduous process. We've recognized, I think, for a long time within the science community that Venus has a very high priority for completing the exploration by imaging the surface of the planet so that we can study the geology. We had tried in various ways to do this from Earth-based and other spacecraft, but we really need an orbiting radar to see through the clouds and to do a complete map of the planet and do an inventory of all the geology of that planet. We started out with an ill-fated mission called Venus Orbiting Imaging Radar, which got canceled more than a decade ago. We went back to the drawing board and figured out a way to do it cheaper and smarter, and came up with Magellan, which actually did a far better job than we had originally planned. We made this spacecraft out of bits and pieces from other spacecraft and designs that we'd had put away, and we invented a few new things like the radar system, which made the whole thing work. We had to scale back the propulsion and be satisfied with putting Magellan into a very loose elliptical orbit, and that made us have to get really smart in operating radars from those kinds of orbits. We had to make it light because we didn't have a huge, enormous, expensive propulsion system either to get it to Venus or to put it in orbit around Venus. And all in all, what this did was it just forced us to be smart, and it paid off. Because once we got into orbit in August of 1990, we began mapping in September and continued mapping for eight-month cycles. Eight months is just the time it takes Venus to rotate beneath the plane of the orbit. We mapped virtually 150% of the planet. We got 98% unique coverage of the planet. There are only a few spots here and there that we don't have. And we got stereo coverage. We got coverage of the same area several times in order to look for changes, which we haven't been able to see yet. In all, we produced a data set which is far larger than all the total planetary image data from all NASA missions combined. And we managed to get it all processed and delivered to the science community.
You say you got more data. That includes Viking, you got the Mars pictures, all the Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune data, all that combined.
It includes all of that combined, far more.
Well, how did you get it back to Earth?
This is one of the reasons I'm here in this country, in order to talk to the people at the station in Tidbinbilla, where we have the NASA tracking station. I like to come here about once a year and tell them what a terrific job they're doing. We have three large antennas stationed around the Earth that allow us to be able to see any part of the sky at any time of the day. And there's one in the Mojave Desert in California, and there's one near Madrid in Spain, and there's a very important one here in Australia, near Canberra at Tidbinbilla, and they track our spacecraft roughly two or three times every day, and send us that information back to Pasadena, California, where we process it.
These three tracking stations, they pretty well give you 24-hour coverage because they're about 120 degrees apart, aren't they?
Exactly. That's the whole idea, and they're very, very large, and antennas. Which are able to detect something like the strength of a CB radio from Pluto, that sort of thing.
Mm. Now, most people, when you mention radar, they have a picture of a sort of a slightly curved dish that rotates round and round and round, like they see at the airport. Now, the radar on Magellan is a little bit different, isn't it?
Yes, that object detection radar that they use on ships and to see airplanes at the airport is a form of radar. What we're doing is using that same principle, but building an image of a surface from that. We're not really looking at things that move, such as the other kind of radar does. We're looking at landforms and morphology. It's been used for many, many years from aircraft. It's called synthetic aperture radar, and it's capable of very high resolutions. We've flown it in shuttle experiments, the shuttle imaging radar experiments A, B, and C, which have mapped very large areas of the Earth. It's a very useful remote sensing technique for Earth, because you can see through clouds, and we can see things like volcanic eruptions, where an eruption might be threatening Hilo on Hawaii, or floods someplace where we can see through the clouds and tell the extent of flooding, where you can't do that by any other means. Well, we just applied that to a planet where we can't see the surface by ordinary means, because we need to be able to see through the clouds, and radar fits the bill.
Again, most people, going back to the airport type radar, most people are used to the idea that there may be a round screen and there's a city, and an arm sweeps around and a little blip appears. That's where an aircraft is. Now, you're not getting that sort of data, are you? You can actually make pictures out of it, can't you?
Yes, we can make pictures. What we're doing is sending down a very precisely timed signal down to the surface, and it bounces off the surface back to the antenna of the spacecraft where it's recorded. But it's been changed by that bounce. The frequency has changed very, very slightly, which is called Doppler, and that allows us to work out whether we're looking at a region ahead or behind the spacecraft, and we measure the time of the reflection, which tells us the range down to the surface. This gives us two dimensions, frequency and time, and that allows us to put it together into a two-dimensional picture.
Mm. Yeah, there's another instrument aboard Magellan other than the radar, isn't there?
Yes, using the same radio, we have another small antenna that points more or less down at all times, which we use as an altimeter, and that tells us the distance to the surface below the spacecraft. That we can build up into a topographic map, which gives us the shape of the planet.
Mm. Now, just in broad terms, we'll talk about the details of Venus and what Magellan found in another talk, but if you could see Venus with all the clouds stripped away, what would you see?
You'd see a chaotic, jumbly, primarily volcanic terrain that's dominated by lava flows and various kinds of volcanic landforms.
Mm. And the data's come back to Earth far more than ever returned before, as you just said. How is it stored? How is it treated? How did its scientists and the public get to this data?
We have all of the data on tens of thousands of magnetic tapes. That's the first step. This gets compressed into the image form, which we then put onto compact discs.
So using these compact discs, people can actually call it up onto their personal computers, can they?
Well, nowadays it's not very difficult to get a CD reader for a few $100s and set yourself up at home with a complete library of all the available planetary data. So anyone anywhere in the world now, for a very modest investment, can do primary research in these areas.
Mm. So the days when you had to wait several years to get the data from the planets, other than the public information photographs that were published, are gone, and you can just go straight into the original data, can you?
I think those days are gone forever, and students at all levels will be able to look at the original data directly.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Steve.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure to be here.